Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
Good morning. This is Dave Kabickin.
And we're two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. And you can be the very first caller this morning on this bright, cold, and sunny Saturday at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Debbie. What's going on?
Not much. Just trying to figure out if... You know, fall is finally here, right?
It's not just fall. I mean, this is like November. Where's our Ben? Where are you, Ben?
I'm right here,
Ben,
David.
Is this normal for like November or is this normal for October? What's going on here?
Well, the normal high temperature is about 72, so we're quite a bit below that. I would say it's more like mid-October-ish than it would be,
Honest. Whatever gets us to 2021, all right? You know, let's just be in December now. I can't take 2020 anymore.
It's been a rough year. It's definitely been a rough year, but, you know, it's beautiful outside. It's a little crisp, but it's still beautiful outside. We should be able to get out and enjoy it.
It's good apple-picking weather if you're out there thinking about apples and picking them. You can probably have a perfect day out there.
It would be a perfect day for apple picking. So, all the stuff in the news. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away.
She did. She did.
So, do you think she had her estate planning done?
I would assume that she had it all buttoned up. I was saying to Ben when I called in, kind of sad. Regardless of what your political position is, she kind of was like the counterweight to another justice, Antonin Scalia, and they were on opposite sides of the spectrum in terms of the how they viewed certain issues. But they, as it turned out, were very, very, very good friends, and they both loved opera and things like that. And it's just they were really important parts of the court and the identity of the court. And all the justices now, they'll have decades for them to carve out their role. But, in the last, 4 or 5 years, there's been quite a few changes to the court. And it'll be interesting how the politics of it work out. But just in general, real strong woman, obviously incredibly intelligent. And, will be missed probably by a lot of people, regardless of their political persuasion. So kind of a sad day.
Yeah, definitely. Respect. Definitely. I was looking at Facebook this morning and every single post was about her passing away. But we would love for people to call in and ask us questions on estate planning or estate administration or Medicaid planning. Again, the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. I've gotten quite a few people from the webinars that we've been doing that have reached out via email or phone to ask questions, which is awesome because I think the webinars have really given people an opportunity to sit at home and bring their popcorn and their drinks or whatever and sit and watch the webinars and get information from their home.
It's been pretty good. The nice part, I guess, I like being in person to things. I feel like my attention span is such that if it's like, we do, for people out there, we do continuing legal education courses from time to time. And I would assume, Debbie, you're the same way as me. If I'm sitting there in person, I'll probably get more out of it than if I'm sitting at a screen.
Definitely.
However, it's nice to not have to get into the car. It's nice to not have to put on a mask these days and make sure do I have to choose between safety and getting some information? No, you could actually sit in the comfort of your couch and hear about a lot of different topics. And not only hear about the topics, but, most of the clients, they're kind of blacking out their screen or their video is not on. They're just sitting there. It's very inconspicuous. And you get your information. It's like, you know, it's not like, oh, geez, I wonder what's going on in that person's life. They're here at this elder law seminar. No, it's all good. You get to stay at home and get this information. And hopefully it helps people out there get a little more color on these topics, because they're super complicated topics, Debbie, as you know. And, you know, the webinars have really helped people recently take advantage of changes in the law, as well as, you know, it used to be that we would have snowbirds that you know, they're in Florida, and yeah, they'll see, you know, they'll talk to us, and they'll see us when they're back around summertime, and then they'll leave there in fall. And now they could kind of access us whenever they need to because of these webinars, which is kind of great.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we have a whole week of webinars next week. So on Monday, and these are all at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, on Monday we have wills versus trusts, which is always a good one because there's a lot of questions. Do I need a will? If I have a will, do I need a trust? And vice versa. Then on Tuesday the 22nd, there's Community Medicaid Update webinar. We've had a lot of people calling us about Community Medicaid because of the changes as of October 1st, and I will talk a little bit more about that after I go through the rest of the webinars. The 23rd is going to be what to do when a loved one dies. Again, these are all 2 in the afternoon. That's a good one because people really have no idea what to do. It's a great webinar because really we take them from this is what happens, the person passes away, and this is what you need to do going forward. So that's a good one. The 24th is going to be Medicare versus Medicaid, which is an interesting one because a lot of people don't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, and this kind of unravels the mystery between the two, what's covered by Medicaid, what's covered by Medicare. And then Friday...
Hold on, Debbie. You mean they're not the same thing?
No, they're not. Medicare, you know
my
what I tell people?
My whole life has been a lie.
It's all been a lie. So I always tell people, just remember, Medicare ends in E, right? Means it's for everyone, right? And Medicaid is aid that you have to qualify for. Anyway, so, and the 25th is going to be groundbreaking for us. The 25th is the very first time that we're doing a live question and answer on Zoom. So that is going to be really kind of interesting to see how that goes. We have a lot of people that have actually already given us questions. They've emailed questions into us that we're going to be answering. But it's going to give people an opportunity to log on and we'll have to see how we can get people to be able to, like, raise their hand on Zoom, which is kind of fun, and be able to ask live questions. And that's going to be a great one because when we used to do the live seminars, that was what was really fun, right? Because we'd be in the live seminars and a person in the front row would ask a question and then it would string a bunch of other questions after it because the people in the back would be like, oh, wow, well, what about this? What about that? Well, I know about this. I know about that. So that will be an awesome one. Again, that is Friday at 2 o'clock. So this whole week, we're going to have a webinar every day at 2 o'clock. So we hope everybody tunes in, and we hope somebody gives us a call now to talk about Community Medicaid. Do you want to talk about Community Medicaid, Dave?
Well, it's funny. Hang on, guys. It's funny that you said that, Debbie, because, well, not necessarily because of the Community Medicaid, but it's funny that you said I wish you would call, because we have a caller on the line right now. We have
awesome.
John from Hoosick Falls.
Good morning, John.
Hi, we watched your webinar this past weekend. We were really impressed and kind of excited about it. But the question that we have is on an irrevocable trust. Does New York have a special form, or can we use a general irrevocable trust form?
So I'm going to try to be calm when I answer this question because the forms really do matter. Okay. So, and the type of trust really does matter. And believe it or not, there's probably a dozen different kinds of irrevocable trusts that accomplish hugely different, goals. And so there are irrevocable trusts that are really to protect assets from potential creditors, has nothing to do with Medicaid. There are irrevocable trusts that are because you're worried about your estate tax liability, and that's why you're creating an irrevocable trust. The one that you likely heard about at the webinar, and the one that we do the most, is technically an irrevocable trust, but it's like the first step. It's barely an irrevocable trust, because the goal in that irrevocable trust is really geared towards helping people qualify for Medicaid, dealing with long-term care issues down the road. And there, you know, the form, the language does matter. You know, I say this all the time. We said on the radio, you know what word is not located in the four corners of your Medicaid trust?
Okay.
The word that's not in there is the word Medicaid. It's not a Medicaid trust. It's not an irrevocable Medicaid trust because it's called that. It is because of all the language in it. So, you know, I don't want you to download a form that says irrevocable trust and say, see, yeah, there we go. We got it. Because the devil's in the details. The language really, really matters. That doesn't mean that you need to come to Herzog Law Firm or anything like that. I don't mean to say that you, oh, we're the only ones and this is the only way you do it. But it's such an important topic that you have to do it the right way. Okay? So, okay. There are certain goals we want to accomplish and certain rights that we want our clients to still maintain. For example, in this trust that we're talking about, I need you to be able to change a trust to say, you know what, I don't like this beneficiary anymore, I'm going to change it. This trustee is not doing what I'm asking them to do. I need to replace them. I needed to have those powers. And in a lot of irrevocable trusts, and I actually saw a couple of them recently where clients came in to just have us look at their documents. They weren't our clients. And it turns out they have trusts that do happen to help with Medicaid, but also give them zero powers, and they actually are losing control. It's a irrevocable trust that went a little too far. So, to answer your question, I'd say you do need to talk to an attorney to go through the right language in the trust. Certainly, you don't need it to be Herzog Law Firm, but I do think you need a professional to walk you through, so that way you're not giving up rights that you didn't have to give up.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks
you're
for
welcome.
Calling. Thanks for coming to the webinars. Yeah. While we have you, if you don't mind me asking. Did you go to more than one, and were there things, like, did you ask any questions? Give us some feedback here. Only good feedback. I don't want to hear any bad
feedback. After the webinar, my wife sent an email, and you got right back to us immediately. It was great. And that was our first one, by the way. And
okay.
Now we're listening to you guys this morning. And we'll probably be watching another webinar coming this week. Like you said, there was one every day almost, right?
There is. That'd be great.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for joining us on those webinars. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You also, and stay safe.
Thank you. You too. So, yeah, the webinar this week was on update on elder law, like what is elder law and an update on it. So it was a great webinar. We did have a lot of good questions that came from that, and a lot of interesting questions, because a lot of people are concerned when they set up an irrevocable trust that they're going to lose control. They're afraid that they're going to lose their exemptions as far as their STAR exemption, their senior STAR, their veterans exemption. So we try to put those people, you know, give them the information that they need so that they can make an educated decision.
Well, you can't blame them. I mean, Ben, let me ask you a question. If I said to you, you're going to give me $10 irrevocably, you'd probably think that you don't have $10 anymore and the ship has sailed, right?
That's right. It's gone. See ya.
It's gone.
Yeah, bye.
Full disclosure, Ben has not given me $10.
Nor would I ever.
Well, yeah, right. Good choice.
I don't know about. Okay. This didn't go as I planned.
No, it didn't.
I regret bringing you into the conversation.
Well, I'm out then. Bye.
No. Hold on. Well, so the key, though, is in normal conversation, you know, words like irrevocable tend to come with certain meanings, right? Debbie, when you do a webinar or a seminar and you ask people what the word irrevocable means, you know, the things that they throw out to us are three things, right? You can't control it, You can't change it. You can't undo it. And right. In this kind of trust, they're wrong, because you can do all those things. It's just how you do them and how you control it, which is a little different. And I don't blame people who come to a webinar and hear irrevocable. There are lots of follow-up questions. What do you mean? That word, words matter, right? Irrevocable mm-hmm. means something. And it's just in legalese and in the world of elder law and estate planning, there's more to irrevocable than you think. And it's actually it gives you far more power if you have the right language in your trust.
Didn't right, you just say that, David? That words, you just told John from Hoosick Falls that words matter.
Words matter.
He did.
That's what you said. So
words matter.
Okay.
Absolutely.
They do. They matter. And it's interesting because whatever we used to do, the ones in person, on one of my slides, it always says, you know, it's an irrevocable trust, but you can revoke your trust. You can change the beneficiaries. You can change the trustees. And people will be like, I think you have a typo on that page.
Yeah.
They're like, well, how can you revoke an irrevocable trust? And that's the nice thing about a irrevocable trust in New York. If it's written correctly, then you can revoke an irrevocable trust. For instance, I have clients that set up their trusts a long, long time ago. Now they've sold the house and they're living in, you know, like senior apartments or whatever, and they need extra money. And so they can actually revoke part of their irrevocable trust, kind of chip off a little bit of the money, kind of pop the cork off the bottom of the piggy bank, shake some money out, and still have some extra money for trips and whatever they need. But the money that's still in the trust is still protected. And people are like, well, how does that work? And we're like, well, you need to come and visit us, and we'll explain to you how it works.
Well, it's not like magic. You know, like there's a rhyme to it. And, you know, when we say an irrevocable trust can be revoked, it's a capital I irrevocable trust can be lowercase r revoked, meaning, you know what we mean. You can access your money, that the trust can be undone. In legalese, the word revocable, capital R revocable, will mean that you, the person who created the thing, can undo it by yourself. And to Debbie's point, with these quote-unquote irrevocable trusts that we do, you can still get to the end result, which is taking money out of your trust or blowing up the whole thing if you wanted to. It's just you by yourself don't do it. It's you and your team of employees, like your trustee and your beneficiaries, who you could always fire and change and so on. You know, I don't think I'll ever get bored talking about it, Debbie. It's so interesting, and every now and then I'll explain it, and I at a consult, and I'll kind of start to smile because it's like, son of a gun, it's unbelievable that you could actually do this. It's really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It is, and we would love to get a second caller at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900.
Funny that you would say that, Debbie.
Oh.
Because we have our second caller on the line.
Awesome.
Here is Dennis from Amsterdam.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis. What time is it in Amsterdam, by the way, Dennis?
Oh, it's 5. It's 8:20.
That Amsterdam. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to be funny.
What's going on, Dennis?
I'm listening to your show, and you're talking about different types of trusts. I'm in a situation where my parents have passed. They've been passed for several years now. They had a trust drawn up. I was a part of it. My siblings and us became estranged, basically over the trust, but that's a long story. I see there's different types of trusts. Apparently, my mother passed prior, and then my father passed a year later. And when he passed, I guess 18 days before he passed, you would mention that they can change their trust. I was taken out of their trust. Before he passed. And I received the package, like, say, 3 months or so after he passed, telling me what was in it, and I had to sign consent not to contest the will, of which I did based on what was in that package, and they never included the part where he took me out of the will 15 days prior. So I don't know if they can legally do that. Now it's 2 years later, and they're trying to settle the trust and settle the whole will and the trust. And now I'm informed that I was taken out of it. Should I not have been informed that he took me out of it?
So, like we said before, words matter, and it helps in the fact patterns to know precisely what you're talking about, because you talked about two different things: a will, which involves probate if there are assets that, you know, were just in their name. And it, you know, it sounds like that waiver that you signed is something called a waiver and consent that you would get where there's a will, and that will needs to be probated. And that document is where you can waive your right to contest the will and consent to whoever is named as executor or bringing that will to the court. And typically when we send that waiver and consent out, we do that with a copy of the document. People should know what's going on. People should know what they're waiving in, right? So I don't know whether it was a piece of what you got and you just didn't see it. I don't know if they just didn't include it. Certainly for the listeners out there, as a cautionary tale, don't waive in things until you see what you're waiving into. And, you know, where are we going with this? Well, I don't know what relief you would have. It sure would seem weird that they had you agree to a document that you didn't know replaced you less than 3 weeks before your father passed away. The other thing you mentioned trusts, and this actually had a client that had a similar confusion, I guess. So you mentioned the trust, but the trust was actually contained in the will. So it's something called a testamentary trust. It belongs in your will, and it only exists after dad passes away. So when you talk about a trust, Dennis, are you talking about something they created during their lives, or are we talking about language about a trust that was in their will? Is it two separate things we're talking about?
Well, when I asked them about it, they kept telling me that the trust has nothing to do with the will and vice versa. And then when I can actually look back and see the email that they recently sent me, and he referred to it as, the account, and I don't have it all.
Dennis, let me give you an example. Okay, and we get this a lot. So we have lots of clients, and we do lots of trusts for them. And so they'll do a trust, and one of the goals of the trust is to avoid probate, avoid needing to use the will and go to court and so on. And the trust will say how everything in the trust will pass, and maybe the house is in there and some money or something, right? And that's like the main piece of our plan. But inevitably, our clients, from time to time, they'll pass away. And even though we were trying to avoid probate, there'll be something out there, some asset they forgot about, and they will still need to probate the will. And in that instance, the will covers only very little, right? A small amount of assets, and the trust usually will take care of a large amount of assets. And so it's possible that the waiver and consent you signed for the will wasn't really in charge of lots of money, okay? It was a small amount of money. And in fact, when we do wills and we do trust, Debbie, you always will have it be something called a pour-over will. So even if the will needed to be going through court, the destination for money that the will covers would be the trust, right? So it all goes into one big pot, and then that trust gives things out. So
yes.
I'm starting to be maybe a little less concerned about the waiver you signed and more concerned about the trust amendment that removed you from the picture. And that's kind of a different story. I think the next logical step for you is to call and come in so we can go through some of the details. For example, and Debbie, you've seen this before, someone is dealing with dementia. Dad's not doing so hot. And lo and behold, there's a change to his documents 2 weeks before. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There might be a perfectly good explanation for it, and there might be a perfectly bad explanation for it. So we don't know, and we need to find out.
Okay. I recently took my package to an attorney to look it over, but, mm-hmm. We'll see. I've sent questions. It's all confusing to me, and that's why, I don't understand. Like I said, I looked over the package they sent me back 2 years ago, and it was not included, the amendment to his trust.
Mm.
And which I find, you know, appalling. I don't know if that's legal or not. I was tricked into signing consent for something that and not given all the information.
Yeah. Well, and look, Dennis, thanks for the call. I want to discuss some of these issues in general with Debbie. Thanks so much for the call. We're happy to meet with you if you'd like. You know, Debbie, one of the pros that we talk about in avoiding probate and having a trust is that if your plan is to not include all your kids or not include them evenly or to give money here or there, it's hard to contest, right? You do a will sometimes defensively. It also accomplishes your goals, obviously. And it sounds like to me the waiver that was being signed doesn't have anything to do with the trust change itself. And, you know, if in fact Dad wanted to make that change, the fact that he has a trust that made the change made it so that perhaps his son can't contest it, which is maybe part of his plan. You know, who knows what the plan is, and we obviously will need to look at the details.
It's very difficult, and it's hard whenever you have families. I always tell people, if your kids fight now, they're going to fight even worse whenever you pass away. So the problem, number one, would be amending it right before he passed away. But like you said, the will only controls assets that are individually in the person's name whenever they pass away. So if they were only probating the will to take care of some stock or an account or something like that, then that will is only going to control those assets. It's not going to control the trust. And if the trust had absolutely nothing to do with it, if it wasn't a pour over will, right, if the will didn't pour over to the trust, then the trust probably wasn't part of the package that he received, right?
Yeah, you know, Debbie, if it was a pour over will, so if everyone out there, pour over will means that anything governed by this document, this will, the destination isn't family, it isn't spouse, it's going to be the trust. Technically, Debbie, that's disinheriting people in favor of the trust, but we do it by design because the trust has all the rules and the trust has a lot of other money as well. Let's get everything in a big pile and then give things out based on the instructions of mom and dad. So technically, everyone, all the siblings, if it was a pour over will, all the siblings are being disinherited by that will in favor of the trust. So, you know, for the Dennises of the world, they may not have a lot of relief there because there's nothing to see here. Everyone got disinherited from the will in favor of the trust. I think his bigger issue, and in fact the harder thing to contest and the harder thing to do something about, would be a change, an amendment to the trust that took place, because that didn't go through probate by design. Again, that's kind of the whole point, right? We tell people all the time, we want you to have less legal fees later on, and a trust is a way to do that. It'll be interesting to see what some of the facts were in terms of Dad's condition. We've had clients who've come with their kids, and they're making rather drastic changes close to the end. And there have been times where we say, we can't do that for you. Sorry, we're not comfortable. And there have been times where they know exactly what they're doing, and they have perfectly good reasons, and we document it. And, you know, score one for using attorneys and making sure that they're, you know, everything's done on the up and up and the right amount of witnesses and things are notarized. And, you know, sometimes people can contest when things are done the wrong way, and it's important to do things the right way.
Definitely. And that's why, you know, people are like, do I really have to fill out this questionnaire? I'm like, yes, you have to fill out the questionnaire, because we need to know exactly what your family is and exactly what's going on. You know, are there kids from two marriages? Are there kids from three marriages? Are there kids that are adopted out? Are there kids that are adopted in? Are there grandkids that are adopted in? We have to look at all these things. Are there kids that you're estranged from? We have to look at all those things when we're originally drafting the documents to make sure that we've got all of our I's dotted and T's crossed, so someone can say, oh, well, they had dementia, they forgot about me, so I'm going to contest the will because they didn't leave me anything, but they didn't mention that they actually had another child, right? So you have to really be careful whenever you're drafting the documents, and you need to have all of the information.
And we are now Absolutely. At the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take our break here. We'll be back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour coming up. right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and Flatbush Road in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. This is Debbie Verney.
Good morning. This is Dave Kubikian.
And we're back for the second half hour of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour. We're going to be here for the next half hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, and Medicaid planning. And you can be the third caller for the show. We had two callers in the first half hour. And the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. And we would love to hear from you.
Debbie, as a matter of fact, funny that you should mention that for the third time this morning. We do have a caller on the line. Here is Barbara from Ballston Spa.
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I have a revocable trust. Mm-hmm. I can't do the webinar. I don't have the proper equipment, let's put it that way.
Okay.
I have the trust with you.
Mm-hmm.
I am revocable. I'm interested in the topic that I think you mentioned last week. And this is just my general wording that my question would be, the topic would be, what does the family do when the parent dies?
Mm-hmm.
You have some sort of
a webinar
on that, but I couldn't get the webinar. So I'm wondering if I can get a sheet mailed to me or some such thing.
Would you like a copy of the slides?
I would like a copy of what information you put out.
Mm-hmm. So,
hey, Barbara?
Yeah.
So, you know, the webinars, they're called webinars because they're on websites and you can view them. But actually, when you register, and we can give you all this information, you can use the phone that you're using right now. You can call a phone number and you put in a passcode, and you could actually listen to the whole webinar if you'd like. That's number one. Number two, if you do at some point have the capability of going to a website, we're actually recording these webinars, or most of them, and they can be accessed if you are able to go online, even if you're not able to do it at that time. So a couple options are, the next time we're doing this webinar or any other webinar you want to attend, there's actually a phone number you can call, and you just listen to it on the phone, just like you're listening to the radio. Okay? Right, and in advance of it, we could even send you the slides so you know exactly what Debbie's talking about. So just keep that in mind down the road, okay?
I just would like to be able to get a sheet that I can look at.
Sure.
Just on the topic of what does a family in relation, when the person passes, what does the family need to do to finish it off, whatever.
So, Barbara, what you can do, I mean, we have a copy of the slides that basically take you step by step through what you need to do when a person passes away. And if you want to give us a call on Monday, we can have Stacy send a copy of those slides out to you.
You say slide?
Right, so we would just print them, right? We could print them,
oh,
so they would
oh,
be
okay.
a packet. for you. We could print them and then put them in an envelope, mail them to your house so that you could just flip through them. And then after you flip through them, if you have any questions, you can like highlight them and everything like that. And then give us a call and we could go through some questions if you still have questions.
Okay. So that would be great.
Yeah. So call Stacy on Monday. Tell her you want a copy.
Can I just call your general number in Albany?
Yep, the 518-465-7581. And Stacy can print them off for you and mail them out to you.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, I do better with paper, too. I totally understand.
Yeah. I'm not for this world. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Barbara. Take care. So, yes, the slides are available. And whenever people attend the webinars, we're actually emailing out copies of the slides to the people that attend the webinars. But if you can't attend them, we'd be more than happy to mail them out to you.
And I'm going to jump in right now. We have another caller. We have Barb in Westmere.
Oh, good morning, Barb.
Good morning, everyone. I have a question about life insurance policies and how to make sure that they don't have to go through a will and a probate. My brother passed away about a year ago, and I'm the sole beneficiary on these life insurance policies. And I was talking to my mom because I have her power of attorney. And she wanted to know what happens. Do we have to remove my brother's name from the life insurance policies, or is my name on there just enough? What happens?
It depends. Did your brother have kids?
Yes.
So your mom probably should check it out, because a lot of times whenever people name beneficiaries on life insurance policies, sometimes they'll say, you know, that it's going to be split evenly. Sometimes they put per stirpes, which would mean that if the person passes away, it goes to their kids. So what I would do is, the safe thing to do is have mom contact the company that has the life insurance and then just update the beneficiaries, and that way there's no question.
Okay. If I'm her power of attorney, and I have full power of attorney for her, for everything for her, is that something I can do as her power of attorney, or does she need to do that?
So
that is
something you can
go
do.
Go ahead, Dave.
However, so it's something you could do, right? Power of attorneys do usually include the ability to deal with different kinds of insurance. However, if you're going to make a change that seemingly is to your benefit, you're the agent, you're acting for mom, you're making a change that removes the name, it looks like now you're the sole beneficiary type of thing, we would want to make sure that that power of attorney authorizes you to gift to yourself. Now, you didn't make any money, right? Because the policy still exists, mom still exists. However, out of an abundance of caution, I would say to you, if the power of attorney allows you to self-gift, absolutely, you can make not only changes to life insurance policies for mom, but changes that benefit you. So I'd say, without a benefit to you, yes, you could absolutely access things. You can call. You can get information to see what the lay of the land is, as Debbie said. Okay. If you're going to make a change that seems to benefit you, even though you may not look at it that way, I would want to make sure that you do have a gifting power in there.
I have in her... in her power of attorney, there is a gift writer that names me able to gift.
Oh, very good. So it sounds like it would be fine. I would anticipate that the insurance company will want to take a good long look at that as well. But it sounds like you're in good shape.
Okay. Would I be better? Mom's insurance would only cover the cost of her funeral. Would I be better signing over, or somehow assigning the life insurance policy to the funeral home? Because that's where the money's going to go.
That's an option. It depends on how all the numbers shake out, and does it cover all the funeral? Does it cover more than the funeral expense? Sometimes what people do is they'll actually, because the cash value, what the policy is worth today, typically in those kinds of insurance policies are really similar to what the payout will be down the road. Like it's a $5,000 policy and it's worth $5,000 right now. Now, what a lot of people will do is they'll actually cash out the policy entirely. So it's now cash in a bank account. Maybe it's an account that you and your mom have, and you know that that money's earmarked for funeral, or you even take that money then and you prepay the funeral. Now, if there's a big difference between the cash value and what the payout would be, so, you know, it's going to pay out $10,000, but the cash value is $5,000, well, then keep it as insurance because to take a, you know, like a horse racing term or something like that, you're getting pretty good return on the investment of $5,000, the cash value. So I don't want you to cash it out, as an example. So, you know, like everything else, you know, the answer is depends, but there are some general guidelines that I think you could look at to see what's a good idea. Of course, we're happy to talk to you and go into more detail in person. It's not a radio topic, if you know what I mean.
Right. Okay, well, thank you both very much, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, you too.
Right, bye-bye.
You know, Dave,
I'm afraid to even mention the phone number, because then Ben's going to interrupt me and say we have another caller.
Why, you like it when everybody calls.
We do. We like it so much. So the phone number is 518-476-5900, 518-476-5900, and Dave, I've been waiting for you to talk about community Medicaid, so go quickly.
Okay. So, well, actually, you know what, Debbie, can I ask you a favor? Do you mind going through the webinars next week, and then we'll kind of emphasize the one that talks about aging in place in community Medicaid? Just so everyone, because we've heard so much about these webinars, I want to make sure everyone knows when and what they are.
Okay, so next week on Monday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon is Wills versus Trusts. And Wills versus Trusts webinar talks about the difference between wills and trusts. Do you need a will? Do you need a trust? And it goes over into basic estate planning, too. But that's really one of our favorites as far as people because they feel like they can get a lot of information. On the 22nd is going to be the Community Medicaid Update webinar. So that will be the one that Dave's going to talk about as soon as I finish going through these. Right, Dave?
Yes.
Okay. The 23rd is on Wednesday, the 23rd, again at 2 o'clock, what to do when a loved one dies. That kind of takes you through the whole thing about when a person passes away, what are the steps that you need to take. The 24th is Medicare versus Medicaid. Again, these are all at 2 o'clock in the afternoon next week. And the 25th is going to be kind of similar to this radio show, right? It's going to be a call. It's going to be a webinar that's live with the attorneys and Kim Hance, our geriatric care manager. So people can ask live questions about estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning, and also we have some questions. Like I said, if we do have some questions, people can email us some questions in advance of that webinar on Friday if they have some questions so that they can get them answered in the webinar. But now, again, the one that is on community Medicaid that Dave's going to talk about right now.
No, he's not.
Is,
No, he's not.
See that?
We have a caller.
Right now on the line, we have John from Canada, Harry.
Okay.
Hey, John.
Good morning, John.
Hi. Hey, it's offhanded question. Do you know if the American people are supposed to get another stimulus check?
If there's going to be another stimulus check, is that what you said?
Yeah.
You know, good question. I think that's the question a lot of people are asking. I've heard that the government, the Congress and the president are getting a little closer. There might be another check that comes out, but I don't think anything's set in stone. You, like the rest of us, are waiting to see what's going to happen.
All right. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
All right, so, Debbie, I'm going to say this quick before anyone calls. I'm just going to go through it real quick. And Ben?
Okay.
I'm watching you,
yes,
Ben.
Yes, David.
Actually, obviously, interrupt whenever.
Okay.
So, we've been talking about this for like 6 months now, pretty much ever since the lockdown happened. It coincided with some changes announced to how people can get care at home and how they qualify. And right now, it's September 19th, and if you moved all your money into a trust today, on October 1st, you can qualify for Community Medicaid. And if you submitted that application before October 1st, you can qualify for Community Medicaid. Or at least that's what was announced, was that you need to submit an application before October 1st. And then, you know, everything shut down for a while, and, you know, it was kind of on the back burner. And now, all of a sudden, we're a couple weeks from October 1st, and there have been some changes to what were announced. They're confusing changes. They're confusing for us, let alone for our clients. And so I'm going to try to kind of clear it up here. So there's a program where you can get care at home. It's called Community Medicaid. You need to qualify for it. And as I mentioned, historically, you didn't need to do a lot of planning in advance to qualify. The change that was announced is going to implement a 30-month look-back period for people who apply after a certain date. They are going to delay the implementation of actually looking back 2.5 years, and that delay likely will go into the beginning of the winter. So if you're applying for Medicaid on October 2nd, you're not going to be required and asked to provide 2.5 years of your life story. Like we would, if there was a nursing home, we would provide 5 years of your life story. However, the date of September 30th really, really matters, and we anticipate it's going to matter even more. And what we mean is that all indications are that Medicaid will look at whether you qualified as of October 1st, even if they're not looking back until December, they're going to consider your eligibility based on October 1st. And that may mean something, that may mean less than we think. What we know is if you want the best shot at qualifying for these services as soon as possible without a penalty and without a look-back period, all things being equal, we want people putting more in their trusts as soon as possible. Now, not everything, right? We still need common sense. If we are not needing any long-term care at all, certainly what you should be doing is different than someone who really, really needs care. What's happened over the last couple months, Debbie, is we've gotten extremely busy on two fronts. Number one, people have been calling to schedule retain us to get qualified for Community Medicaid and submit an application. There's a need. They want to submit the application before there's a 2.5 year look back period because they move things around in the last 2.5 years. Makes sense. They want to get in, and some of those people are getting in when they don't need a ton of care yet, but they want to get in when it's easier, and they anticipate that they're going to get older and they're going to need more care. The other group of people that have been coming in droves are the people who don't have a trust to begin with. And so there, if they create a trust and put money in it, you know, basically before October 1st, they're going to really increase the likelihood that even when there is a look-back period, that there might be some grandfathering in of the transfers that happened before October 1st. And even if there isn't a grandfathering, and they know, at least we know now, an application November, an application December is going to look back at whether somebody qualified as of September 30th. So we've had existing clients coming in and saying, should I put this thing in? Should I not put this thing in? We've had clients who don't have trusts and have wills or aren't clients starting to do them. And then obviously people trying to file applications. What's complicated things in September is it's September. And there's only certain days in September. And so we're running out of days. And if we're, the goal is to file a Medicaid application by September 30th, that's not something we're going to be able to do. It's just there's a lot of work involved. But if it's to create a trust or to move things around, it's possible that we can still help. And as soon as, you know, it's September 25, 6, 7, 8, you know, that's going to be even harder to do. There might be a further delay in the implementation of the program. We just don't know. As things open up around us and as we're able to go to school and, you know, go to restaurants and so on, I think it would increase the chance there won't be a further delay in the implementation, because, you know, there's a reason why they put this in place to begin with, and it's a cost-saving measure for the state. So that, in a couple minutes, is the changes happening. But as Debbie mentioned, we have whole seminars, like hour and 20-minute seminars, where it's an attorney and then Kim, our geriatric care manager, going through the details as to what exactly community Medicaid means and what services you can get. And like everything else, Debbie, the devil's in the details. There are people who can qualify in 2 seconds because of their family tree or a disability in the family or because they have a child caretaker. There's ways to save your income. There's so many details in this area of law.
Oh, definitely. And that's why you need, if you have any questions, you really need to meet with someone that does this. You need to meet with someone that knows kind of the ins and outs of Medicaid and community Medicaid, because if you make one wrong move, you apply before you're qualified, you don't move the assets correctly, it's going to make a big difference. It can be months without care that's paid for. So it really does make sense to visit with an attorney, to sit down and go through everything and see if it's something that makes sense. Because if you've got somebody at home that needs care and you're on the fence, right, you're like, well, they need it, but they don't need it, you really need to think about this and kind of implement it, at least get the assets moved so that you can make sure that you're going to qualify in the future. Because people, you know, we're all aging in place, people.
Yeah. Some more than others, right, Ben? Just kidding.
Absolutely correct.
Well, so, Debbie, I was thinking about this as you were talking, and, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with these changes. If someone thinks that their mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, spouse can use some help, or they're a caretaker and they themselves need some help in caretaking for their loved one, apply for Medicaid. Right, come talk to us, and even if there is going to be a 2.5-year look back period, even if you didn't get money moved over by October 1st, it may be that New York State says, hey, you know what, we actually meant November 1st, we meant December 1st as the date. So, like anything else, you know, the earlier the better. For the most part, certainly we're not looking for people to who are perfectly healthy to apply for community Medicaid, but. You know, there have been some fact patterns I've seen. Client, a spouse diagnosed with dementia, absolutely fine, right? Sitting there, you know, it's not some sort of immediate incapacity or anything. It might be years down the road, but, you know, they're applying because there's going to be this need. And even if they don't take advantage of the hours that they qualify for yet, eventually they'll need more and they'll qualify because they applied when the getting was good, you know? So, earlier the better. You know, we said words matter, time matters, dates matter, and the dates of transfers matter. So we got 11 days left in this month. Use it. If you're a client of ours and you're unsure if you need to put more money into a trust, you already did the trust. You already spent the money, right? It's just, you know, fine-tuning it. And that conversation is not going to cost you a dime with us. We're happy to give you some advice.
Yeah, definitely. Give us a call at the office. The phone number at the office is 518-465-7581. Stacy is extension 126. Again, 518-465-7581. And Stacy's extension 126. She can put time on any of our calendars. She has control. Stacy has the control of all the calendars. I don't have access to a lot of people's calendars, but Stacy does. She's in charge, let me tell you. So do give her office a call if you want to come in and sit down with one of the attorneys, or if you prefer to do a phone conversation. We're doing phone conference calls, or we're doing Zoom calls.
How do you like those Zoom calls? I don't mind them that much. What's tough is, I obviously like seeing faces. I preferred over phone calls because I like to see when I said something that doesn't make sense so I could elaborate more and clarify.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the limitations of Zoom, though, are, you know, every now and then I'm frozen and then that looks weird. It could be choppy, and then sometimes, you know, we don't have everyone in the picture. So that mm-hmm. becomes a little difficult. Do you like the Zooms?
I do like the Zoom. But like you said, I think it's easier whenever you're on a conference call, especially if you have, like I had husband, wife, and two kids the other day, and we had a phone conference call, and it was just easier because everything was clear. Sometimes with Zoom, like you kind of said, it gets kind of choppy, people freeze, and it gets a little bit more difficult, but they both work. It's just, you know, whatever suits the person, because a lot of times mom and dad don't have a computer, and it's difficult for them to get logged on. So it's whatever works for our clients. We're willing to do whatever we need to do to be able to communicate with them.
What is really nice is, you know, more and more people live all over the place. You know, there's a lot more social distancing, obviously. And the Zooms allow us to actually see everyone. And you know, it's someone in Maryland and one of the kids in Florida and mom and dad up here. And we're all together. It's actually really, really nice. And, you know, going forward, I always think about from this pandemic, what are the things in our office, what are the things in my life that I'm going to keep doing even when I don't have to wear a mask and so on. And I think we're going to be using Zooms or some version of Zoom mm-hmm. for a really long time. Or we're in the room with mom and dad, and we're going to use an iPad to Zoom in the kids. I think that's going to be something we do going forward.
I agree. It's here to stay. It's definitely here to stay.
I think so. What is not here to stay is the warm weather. It is cold. It's 44 degrees as I sit in my car. Ben, what do you got on your report there?
Right now we're at 44 degrees and sunshine.
44?
Yep.
Oh, well, I'm looking out my window and it's 44 and sunny here too. Look at that. Amazing.
Yeah, well, it's the fall. So you guys have a great weekend. Get out and enjoy the sun.
Weekend.
Bundle up.
Take care, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.